I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you can sense a little admiration in Mike Tomlin's voice there when he was breaking down the Houston Texans, the Steelers' opponent this Monday night in the wild card round, you are hardly alone if that's what you sensed when he was talking about what Houston brings to the table. Good afternoon. It is the PM team live from the Rivers Casino Sportsbook. It is hopping. People are ready. It is an electric atmosphere. College football playoff later tonight. This place is going to be filling up very soon and already is. Pony will be joining us presumably for about the back half of the show today. Pony's got a pet situation right now. As the owner of two dogs myself, I am sensitive to that. And so I will not be making any jokes about Pony being out with the norovirus or anything else. We expect him to be here, hopefully, halfway through today's show. There's a bit of a thing that's like a saying, I guess, that really applies to sports, but it applies to everything. And it's the old be careful what you wish for saying, right? And I think it applies as we start to see the Steelers get ready for the Texans in earnest today and gear up for this. It's kind of been a week where we've talked about all sorts of different coaching carousel moves. Black Monday turned into Black Tuesday, into Black Wednesday, into now Black Thursday. Mike McDaniels gets canned. It's been like a slow motion train wreck of firings in the NFL. We've sort of gone and covered those stories and haven't really dug in too hard yet on the actual opponent. But I think when people were starting to game out who the Steelers might be able to face off with if and when they made the playoffs, before that actually became something that got sealed in stone, and it took to the last play of the season to do so, the Houston Texans were, I would think, one of the popular choices. I know they were the team that kind of gunned to my head. I also said I would want to see the Steelers play in a 4-5 matchup. I think there were a couple, there was one thing that was definitely permeating the entire sort of Steelers nation as far as an opinion, a prevailing sentiment, and that was don't want any part of the Buffalo Bills in the 5 seed. That was the thing. You could talk to almost any Steelers fan. I don't really blame them either. It was pretty obvious to see why. They knew what the Bills had done to the Steelers in this building already once this year, taking a halftime deficit and turning it into the one of the most dominant second-half beatings of the Steelers we've ever seen. And I think that was weighing heavy on people's minds when they would try to game out who they wanted to see. And so the next part of that, the concurrent part of that was, well, I also saw the Chargers beat the Steelers this year, and even if the Chargers don't necessarily have a healthy offensive line, they've still got Justin Herbert, and he's a cyborg at quarterback, and he's the Terminator, and he can force multiply, and he can take your best laid plans and leave them in tatters. And so, almost by default, it seemed like the prevailing sentiment became, I shared it, that the Houston Texans were the best matchup. And now the Steelers have got them. And I think at least when you look at point spreads, they would be probably the team of those three I just mentioned, Bills, Chargers, Texans, probably the one that would have generated the smallest spread. Maybe the Chargers in their current state would have come in here and been less than a 3.5-point favorite. I think most people rightly assume the Bills would have been more like a 5.5-6-point favorite maybe based on previous results. And so it looks like what people wanted was also the best option for the Steelers as far as our friends in the desert or our friends at Rivers Casino Sportsbook think about this game. Get the Texans, hope for the best. Let's get out there lickety-split and see what these guys can do. I keep coming back to be careful what you wish for because I think two things in this particular instance can be true. I think the Texans can offer the Steelers the most realistic chance to get through this round and finally win a playoff game for the first time since the 2016 season, so early 2017. I think they do offer the Steelers the most attainable shot at it. But I also think even more so than the Bills, and definitely more so than a Chargers team that is reeling, the Texans also offer the greatest chance to turn Aaron Rodgers into, like, the knight at the end of Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade, turn him basically to dust, to, like, break his bones, to take his will, and to make this a violent and very one-sided affair. One of those games that the Texans, I think, have specialized where they never get clear of the opponent by more than 10 points or so, but they absolutely bury them and that the game is never really close. I do think Houston has that in their quiver as something that they can throw at the Steelers and put on the Steelers. There are two extremes that exist here with the Texans. At the positive extreme, they're bad running game. They are horrible from an efficiency standpoint. Their mediocre offensive line play right into the Steelers' hands. The Steelers' pass rush gets after C.J. Stroud. They can't run the ball to put themselves in good down and distances. And Steelers keep this thing close, and because they have Chris Boswell and the other guys don't, they win the game like 16-13. You're not going to find many people who game this out to be like a game played even in the 20s if the Steelers win it, probably even if the Texans win it. So they offer you that at the positive end of the extreme. On the negative end, it's just the Steelers' offensive line that's looked much better for a while now gets overrun by, I think, pretty obviously the best pass-rushing duo in the league coming from the edge, Will Anderson Jr., Danielle Hunter, gets overwhelmed in the secondary versus their receivers because Stingley, Lassiter, Petrie can lock up pretty much everybody you throw at them. And the Steelers just have no answers with which to combat the Texans' questions that are posed. I still think right now, like we always try to get a feel for these games, Pony and I, when we infamously went up to Cleveland to watch one of the worst regular season losses Mike Tomlin's ever suffered, we were both not feeling great about the game. We always try to get a feel for this stuff before it happens. I will say this, as much as I respect what the Texans do, as much as I just got done spending 5 minutes scare tacticking on them, talking about all the things they do well, how many times I've watched them, the way they bludgeon the Kansas City Chiefs, just beat them with wrenches and crowbars, all that stuff earlier this year. Much as I believe all that to be very legitimate about Houston, as much as I respect how much D'Amico Ryans has these guys just running around hitting anything that moves, and they are a sure tackling team, by the way. I thought the Ravens were making business decisions later in that game. That's not going to happen against the Texans. Much as I respect all that, my feel for this game is not horrible. I do not feel... It's been a march to the gallows, really, the last several times the Steelers have been in the playoffs. If you were really paying attention both to the way the Ravens handled the Steelers last year in their second matchup, the way the Steelers finished the season, that game felt like fait accompli before it started. If you were thinking about that Buffalo game with Mason Rudolph, you might have been feeling like the Steelers were riding high, but they were still going into Buffalo to take on Josh Allen. I remember laughing. It became obvious that Bills game could not be played when it was supposed to be played. It would have been played in like a whiteout. You wouldn't have been able to see any of the players on either team. I was like, yeah, you should play the game now. That's the Steelers' best chance. Maybe somebody like loses the ball in the snow and no one can find it and time just runs out with the Steelers winning 3-0. Kansas City. That felt like, oh, nope, this is going to get real ugly real fast. This game doesn't have that feel for me. Not at least right now. I don't think it will. And it's funny to say that just because, again, I think the Texans can go a very long way. I think they are one of a handful of teams that could actually win the Super Bowl. They have won 9 games in a row. It's weird to say that you think the Steelers can actually handle their business against a team that comes in on an absolute tear, that the Steelers can hang in the game and actually have a path to victory. But I do feel that way. So I put this out there to you right now. They're really getting started now. Practice gets started for the Steelers in earnest. Now it's time to get ready. Now it's time to actually think about the game. You've got a couple of days here. You've got 4-plus days to start digesting this one, to start thinking about it. Steelers came out of that Ravens game about as healthy as they could be, given how they went into it. How do you feel about their chances against the Houston Texans? Vibe check early here for a Monday night game on the preceding Thursday, but it's a playoff game. This is what we do. 412-928-9370. Do you feel like I do that as much as the Texans are worthy of respect, as much as that defense is the real bleeping deal, that it's a matchup the Steelers actually have a puncher's chance or better in. If you had put me on the old out of 100% percentage chance they win, percentage chance they lose for those last several playoff games I mentioned, I think the highest I would have gone was 30%. In fact, Pony and I probably did that game at varying points in time. This one, I'm in like that 45-ish percentage range. I think the Texans are going to win. The line was 3.5 the last time I looked. But I think the Steelers absolutely can win, and probably I would pick them right this second at bare minimum to cover. And you guys know how cynical I am. I am the man who sees a silver lining and says, well, where's the dark cloud for crying out loud? As I have said many times lately on the air, oh, my steak too juicy, my lobster too buttery, the sun too shiny, the weather too nice. I think they got a shot. 412-928-9370, though. I want to know if I'm getting not lost in the sauce here. I wonder if I'm just looking at the fact that it's not Josh Allen, that it's not Justin Herbert, who we've seen have his way with the Steelers, that it's not a Jags. I think the Jags, actually, this is funny. The Steelers weren't going to play him because they won that division. I think people, if this was a 4-5, if Houston had managed to hold on, actually come back all the way back and win the AFC South and the Jags were the 5 seed, I actually think people would feel better about the Steelers playing Jacksonville because of just, well, it's Jacksonville, come on, they screw things up. No, I didn't want any part of them. I just don't have the fear factor, even though I think this is the best defense in the NFL. At worst, it's the second best behind Seattle's. It doesn't feel to me like a game that's over before it starts. 412-928-9370. That is, by the way, the fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Donnie Football back at our Green Tree Studios. Don, so we get ready here. They're starting to get ramped up at practice for this game. I know you are much more the eternal optimist than I am by default, and I'm already saying decent things about the Steelers' chances. I think it's a game they absolutely can win. I am not dismissing this out of hand as being the Steelers are being led to their execution. Do you have any last words for the 2025 season? How are you looking at it?
I would say in a similar sense. I mean, out of the teams that they could have played, this is the one that actually allows them to pull off a win. And I say that more because of the Texans' offense than I do anything else, because yeah, that Texans defense is nothing to mess around with. I feel like that's an aspect of the game that has been kind of slept on as we have gone further and further into this week, how good that defense is. Mm-hmm. And how they have what Aditi said yesterday, both edge rushers she voted for first team all pro in 2025. To have two guys on one team get votes like that from somebody is pretty impressive. And I think Will Anderson is a player that will likely collect one or two Defensive Player of the Year awards by the time he's done. The offense that the Texans have, they can score, but they can't do it like a team that's quarterbacked by, say, a Josh Allen or even a Justin Herbert. And I know Herbert has historically blown up in the playoffs, but still, you feel a little bit better just knowing that it's C.J. Stroud, who hasn't quite taken that next step yet, and an offense that has had its issues this year. And just for that reason alone, you feel like, okay, the Steelers can hang around in this game a lot better than what they have been able to do over the course of this drought. Because another thing with the playoff drought, the last, what, three quarterbacks they have faced? Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, all three of them MVP winners.
Yep.
C.J. Stroud is not that. Maybe one day, but he's not right now.
I think if you're actually making a list of the truly most dynamic, and by that I mean just Burrow can move around a little bit, but he at his best is going to drop back and just survey the field and beat you, generally speaking. I think Matt Stafford is going to compete for the MVP. He's one of the short list, two guys, him or Drake May. Stafford's going to stand back there and try to beat you throwing the ball in the classic sense. Now, May is a new guy on the scene who's going to be able to do a little bit of everything, but like those are the three guys you named who also, I think, stress a Mike Tomlin defensive mind out the most because they can do things even Mahomes can off script and with their legs. And Stroud can move around a little bit. I know you remember that game. I mean, when he went against Georgia in college, I think that was the eye-opener for everybody in the college football playoff when he was moving around throwing for a billion yards in that game. But he is somebody that wants to drop back, survey the field, and beat you. And so I think, like, from that perspective as a quarterback, that's at least more of a straightforward challenge for Tomlin than what you just described. Well, I guess Donnie is answering the phones, which is good because that leads me to my next point, 412-928-9370. Donnie thinks the Steelers have a shot. I think the Steelers have a shot. This does not feel like they are drawing dead already in the playoffs like it has the last couple of times. Do you agree? We got 4 days here to think about this. A couple shows, then a weekend, then we're almost there. Do you think the Steelers have more than a puncher's chance? Do you actually believe for the first time in a while they can really, honest to God, no one's joking around here.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Here. They just got a kick butt unit. They got a top flight edge tandem in Hunter and Anderson. They got a top flight corner tandem on the outside. And so they rush very well. They cover very well. They're not trying to split the atom schematically. They don't have to when you have corners and edge rushers like that.
Mike Tomlin, again, heaping more praise on the Houston Texans, who have never won a road playoff game in their entire franchise history, which dates back to 2002. Again, and I would also say Mike is not just heaping praise on them. He's also kind of talking about – you ever, like, seen somebody that, you know – I'm trying to think of a way to say this. You have a New Year's resolution. I want to get in shape. I want to be stronger. Then you see somebody who looks kind of like what you would aspire to. You're like, ah, yeah, I'm jealous and admiring of that. Like, I want to be like that person, or I want to feel like that person probably feels on a day-to-day basis. I got to get myself to that point. I feel like Mike looks at Houston's defense and says, I would like that. That would be good. Here is the analogy. Before we get to the phones, 412-928-9370, I do think the Steelers, through all of this, have their first realistic shot to win a playoff game since, I guess I would say, the 2020 season with Cleveland, although if you watch the way the Steelers finished that season, you felt like that was probably not going to end well, and it certainly didn't. I think maybe the Browns was the only reason people thought that the Steelers are going to win that game, but they were flagging badly at the finish. This team is not. I am a child of the 90s, and therefore I played Nintendo games. Everyone's heard of The Legend of Zelda if you've heard of video games. Well, the second one they came out with for the Nintendo, Legend of Zelda 2, The Adventures of Link, you fought a guy named Dark Link. He was your shadow at the end of the game. He mirrored every move that you made, and you had to do some weird little creative move to win the fight, okay? I basically feel like Mike Tomlin's going against his, like, better doppelganger in this game. Like, as far as what the Texans are as a football team, like, specifically their defense, but really the entire team. He is going against, like, the dark Steelers here. C.J. Stroud doesn't turn the ball over. The Texans force a lot of turnovers. They have the fewest turnovers in the league. They have the third most forced. Houston's defense lines up. I know this is how Mike likes to coach defense. It's Jimmy's and Joe's. It's not X's and O's. I like that Tomlinism. They're not trying to split the atom. Mike's ideal situation is go out, scout the right guys, get the right guys, win your matchups. We don't have to have an overly complex scheme. We're just going to line up and beat you man for man. That's what the game's really about, whipping the block in front of you, getting to the quarterback. And I see him going up against a better version of himself here. And the two things that give me a little bit of belief, more than I've had, that he could actually find a way around this is, Mike has been doing this for a while, if you haven't heard. And he does, as I am fond of saying, love rolling around in the mud and playing these ugly-ass football games that this one turns into. I suspect, even though I think D'Amico Ryans personally is a very good coach, he just simply doesn't have the sheer number of games that Mike's had that end up going the way most people think this one's going to go. I think C.J. Stroud, in balance, in theory, should be a better quarterback right now than Aaron Rodgers. But his season numbers are a tick worse than Rodgers. Now, Rodgers in the playoffs lately and Tomlin in the playoffs lately aren't reason to inspire confidence in fans. Their performances, Rodgers has turtled. But there has been a theme developing this year where when the rubber meets the road in some of these games, he finally attacks the middle. He looks like old Aaron Rodgers. He makes these baller throws. When you're playing like a mirror fight here, if you want a Mortal Kombat reference, it's mirror mode. It's where you have to beat yourself before you, that sounded weird, before you play, you know, Goro and Shang Tsung or whatever. We'll just move right along there. You have like an ace in the hole maybe and a head coach who is more familiar with this setting and a quarterback who, even though neither one of them has had like success in it lately, is also more familiar with the setting. 412-928-9370, though. Enough from me. Let's hear from you. Do you believe that the Steelers actually have a good shot to finally get the first playoff win for the franchise in almost a decade? Let's go to Dave in Delmont on the Fan.
Believe it or not, no, I do not have a good feeling about this game.
Why not? What's the biggest reason?
Well, Aaron Rodgers hasn't had anybody rushing him in the last five games. He's been standing back there like nobody bothering him. And I don't have a feeling that Houston's going to put up with that. They're going to hit him. And last time he was getting hit, he looked old. And I think they're going to make him look old. And
well,
secondly,
the one time he got hit in the Ravens game, he almost like re-broke his wrist, it looked like. The reason, Dave, that he hasn't really gotten hit, there's two reasons. Their offensive line has been playing better of late. I think that's inarguable, the Steelers, especially the right side. Dylan Cook's been really good on the left. He also got rid of the ball in like 1.5 seconds against the Browns. That's why no one touched him, and that was to his detriment.
Right, and they lost. And I'm telling you, Houston's going to be right up on our receivers if they do that. And secondly, Houston has an ace in the hole. His name is Mike Tomlin. He's a choker, and he's been choking, and I don't think he's going to do anything. And what worries me is the last time you used the phrase, what, puncher's chance, Notre Dame rolled over Pitt. So you're worrying me a little bit. Thanks for taking my call.
Wow, a Notre Dame and Pitt reference. I didn't really think I would. I think that was probably me getting high on hopium for that game. That was also probably stupid. I think I learned my lesson and said they're not going to even sniff Miami after they beat Georgia Tech, and I think I was proven right there. We have a Mount Rushmore of callers on this station. We have a couple of queens of the PM team, Candy and Monroeville. We have Carol and Clinton. They kind of exist separately from the Mount Rushmore. They have their own like throne room as queens of the PM team. This particular gentleman might be the first face I would personally chisel on the Mount Rushmore of PM team callers if I had a chance. That's our guy Daryl in Houston chiming in. What's up, Daryl?
Hey, Chris. How you doing, man? Good show. But real quick, I agree with everything that Dave just mentioned in terms of what Houston's going to bring. But help me understand, why would Steelers fans want to play this team in terms of comfort instead of like a Chargers team or even a Buffalo team? Because I don't think we understand. I watch these people every week, and I don't think we understand. When we say their defense is good, their defense is elite at every level. And I mean every level. And Dave is absolutely right. They're going to bring in so much pressure. If you try to dump and dink, they got people on the outside who can run, they can hit, they can cover, and they're exotic with their coverages. They're not vanilla. They just don't need to use a lot of personnel in doing it. They can run coverages on the back end with only bringing four. And if they happen to bring pressure from a blitz package, it's going to be ugly. So I'll say this. The one thing I will say that we can talk about the offense of the Texans, what we have to do is turn them over. The defense has to create turnovers. Punts are not going to be, they're not going to make it, because I believe that they're going to have so much pressure on Rodgers that it's going to get frustrating at you know, probably the middle of the second, beginning of the third quarter. Because I saw what they did to Josh Allen. And by that, and you know, Josh Allen has, you know, athletic ability.
They beat his ass, Daryl. That's what they did. They did the same thing to Mahomes. They beat his ass, too.
And they hit one of the Kansas City receivers so hard that his teammates came over to push the defensive guy like, hey, man, you hit him too hard.
Yeah, Petrie absolutely lit up man, was it Rashee Rice in that game? Would it have been?
Yeah, I think it was Rice.
They hit, dude. You watch them every week. They are, if that team just suddenly all swapped uniforms and they were in black and gold wearing hypocycloids on one side of their helmets, this town would love them. This is the team I have watched this year that most reminds me of like an 08 Steelers team where the quarterback does not have gaudy numbers, but they win because they bludgeon people into submission. So
They would be on the front of Sports Illustrated, a la the team that we had back, you know, when they were on the front of Sports Illustrated.
They're a throwback, Daryl. I appreciate the call. They're a throwback, and that's why I said they're like the Mike Tomlin. Like it's like looking in a mirror, but it's like the younger, better version of yourself. Like as a team, just the entire thing all the way down. It's like what Mike would have. It's kind of what Mike helped build and walked into partially. He gets Timmons, he gets Woodley, he has Ben. I mean, I think Ryan's is a very, very good coach. I think he's all business. I think people would love him here. The quick reasons why I do think there's a chance is just game style, I think. Like, Daryl asked me, why would, like, Steelers fans want to see this team versus somebody else they could see? I just think game style is going to be different versus Houston than it would be against either the Chargers or the Bills. You know what you got to do with the Bills. It's stop Josh Allen, but he's a cheat code sometimes, and they run it pretty well, and they ran it really well in the Steelers. You also know what you got to do against the Chargers, who are, granted, very depleted, but their quarterback can just be a trump card. I do think stylistically, styles make fights, another boxing reference. Stylistically, just the way Houston is comfortable and confident playing happens to be the way the Steelers like to play. And almost for that reason alone, I just think in game, like the way the game is going to unfold, even if the Texans are territorially dominant and maybe up like 3-0 or 6-0, the hardest thing I have the thing I have the hardest time envisioning, is Houston just getting out early to a big lead and running away and hiding. I could see the Bills doing it. I could see the Chargers frustrating the Steelers by, like, they get pressure, Herbert gets away and makes a big play. I don't see that kind of stuff happening against Houston. Follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan. It's brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And make sure, too, that you do this. Listen to the PM team. On demand, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, just one of the many ways, myriad ways, if Mike Tomlin were saying it, that you can consume this.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Radio. Casino Sportsbook. It is the PM team. Andrew Filippone out right now, but we expect him for the back half of the show. He put it out there, so I'll just obviously reiterate it for those of you that didn't catch it on Twitter. A pup emergency with one of he and Amanda and Stella's two dogs. I don't want to put words in his mouth. I think, Don, based on the texts he sent us, that this was not the worst-case scenario or necessarily close to it. That is why he's going to be in. So expect to see him in the next, I don't know, 90 minutes or so. We are live, like I said, Rivers Casino Sportsbook, and the Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That is where we find Jason Mackey of the Post-Gazette, Pirates beat writer. And Jason, I mean, I'll just kind of toss you in the deep end here just to start with on the unhappy story that broke yesterday. Just your thoughts and feelings with a day to process it just on the Post-Gazette in May ceasing to be.
It stinks, man. It stinks. I haven't gotten all the way through processing it. I'm still, you know, trying to go through it like everybody else. I grew up reading the Post-Gazette. It was a lifelong dream of mine to work here. It's still the coolest thing in the world to me that I look at a place where Ed Bouchette, Ron Cook, you know, Starkey, Smizek, Molinari, Dulac, Dayon, like all these people work there that were my idols, and I get to be there and do that work, and it's never not cool. It's an important part of our city. I believe in journalism. I believe in the Post-Gazette as an institution. I'm mad. I'm depressed. I'm confused. I'm a lot of things, man. We're going to keep doing the work. We're proud of the work we've done, but it just, it stinks. It hits me hard. Yesterday was a really odd day for all of us. I can't believe it. I just can't. So I don't know. Sorry, I don't have a better answer for you.
No, I wanted to let you say what was on your mind about it, but I will say one silver lining is listeners are going to be hearing you again a lot more on The Fan. I know that much, that you will be coming back on and hosting shows. And so instead of doing the following, which would be just asking you all Pirates questions, I'm going to kind of give you the old, like, it's like sparring in boxing. So I'll put on the mitts. On the mitts, and they have pictures of the Steelers logo, and so you've got to start throwing combinations here. Instead of talking baseball to start, I will ask you how you view Steelers-Texans Monday night, given that you will be having a chance to talk about that game, both, I think, what, aftermath of that game and maybe even leading up to.
Yeah, well, thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. I'm going to, I guess, be doing a little post-game show late at night. Talked to Craig about it the other day. I'm very excited about that. Going back to baseball and working at The Fan, so that's fun. I keep checking myself that I'm actually optimistic about this game and the trend that we've seen out of the Steelers late in the season. I've found myself reflecting a lot on Aaron Rodgers and the chance that he gives them in this game. Maybe I should be taking the Texans more seriously based on what their defense has done this season. Obviously, it's been very good. But having DK Metcalf back, and I think some of the confidence they were able to obtain late in the season, I really like this matchup for them. I really like their ability to spread the ball around a little bit. I think they learned some of that in the Ravens game. And if they can get a running game going and actually stick to it, man, I like their chances of winning a playoff game. I can't believe I'm saying that given what we've been through with Tomlin this season, but I am cautiously optimistic.
Jason, if Okamoto, who is now with the Blue Jays, was a Steelers player, who would he be in terms of what you think he's going to end up being as a major leaguer? That's a random way to segue here. Because I'm going to ask you the same thing about Eugenio Suarez, who's still out there and still could be had. But first things first.
Yeah. Well, I think Okamoto is going to be pretty good, Chris. I do.
How close were the Pirates to getting him? Like, were they seriously involved? Like, not at all?
No. They were early on. I looked at a lot of the stuff that came out about them, like late in the process. You know, a bunch of people trying to act like newsbreakers on Twitter. They were not accurate, as far as my understanding went. Like, they kept tabs, but I don't think they were ever seriously close. I mean, there's just too much of a hurdle bringing a Japanese player to Pittsburgh. That's probably beside the point. I'm going through the Steelers roster. I mean, maybe like an Alex Highsmith.
Are you talking about specifically, Jason, hold on. Are you talking about specifically like the cultural fit? Because obviously Toronto is one of the largest cities in North America, and so essentially easier to bring a player who's never been over to this part of the world, really, to a city like that compared to a city like Pittsburgh, just so I'm clear.
Yes, correct.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of prongs to it. I mean, I can go down a rabbit hole quickly. I mean,
I know Ichiro went to Seattle in part because there was a large community of Japanese American people or people who had immigrated from Japan in that area. So I understand that part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I also think there's just a this doesn't have anything to do with the Japanese player and the lifestyle and that sort of thing. Like, what the Blue Jays are in position to offer versus what the Pirates are in position to offer or comfortable offering, I just think they're two different things. Like the teams that we're talking about, the Padres, the Angels, I had even heard the Phillies were in on him, the Blue Jays, like all these teams, they're in a position to take a much greater chance than the Pirates are with a player like this. You know, the Pirates having to basically overpay, pay like a Pittsburgh tax, which we know exists, on a player who is certainly a risk because we've never seen him in Major League Baseball. I just don't think it lined up in a way that the Pirates were really, like, knocking down doors. Now, if the offers to Okamoto weren't what maybe were anticipated, the Pirates were there ready to pounce. But, I mean, they weren't leading the pack. And you know, comparing him to a Steelers player, I'd go with like a Highsmith, like a fringe Pro Bowler, somebody who's going to get there, somebody who still has a lot of potential in front of him, something like that.
All right, I don't think I need you to compare Suarez to a Steelers player, although I feel like it would be a guy that just goes down the field deep, and if he gets the ball, great. If he doesn't, then he's not going to do much else. How realistic is it that the Pirates could get his services?
I don't think you're very realistic, Chris. I don't. I hate to be the bearer of bad news with that one. And I know what I wrote about him kind of took off in a way that was not intended. Sort of like Okamoto. I mean, they're monitoring. If offers for him aren't robust, I think they would be maybe in a position to pounce. But his market, I've seen it anywhere between $12 million and $20 million a year. I think it's going to be more toward the latter. And if it's $20 million a year, I just don't see the Pirates being willing to pay that. Maybe teams ding him for defense or his age or a low average, whatever. But I don't see it lining up. They're already committed like $95, $96 million in payroll. They have pitching needs they want to take care of. I do think, you know, it makes sense to explore something with Connor Griffin in February. And if you sign Suarez for $20 million per, I just don't see any of that stuff being possible.
Jason, have they already made the biggest, in your opinion, like have we already seen the biggest maneuver of their offseason with what the, you know, one of the things, pick whichever one it is, probably the Lau trade so far? In your opinion, is there a bigger move than one of those moves that they've already made coming or no?
No, I don't think so, Chris. I don't think so.
You're kind of bumming me out here, I'm not going to lie.
I know
Connor Griffin's in the minors. You are kind of bumming me out right now.
Well, I mean, okay. If they would somehow get something done with Connor Griffin, like I'm not ruling it out. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying it's going to be like it makes all the sense in the world to revisit that in February and March. If they would do that, I think that would be the biggest move of their offseason. But as far as bringing in a free agent or a trade piece, right now I think we've seen those as like the biggest ones of those have already occurred. I don't think they're going to make a trade for a third baseman that is bigger than Lau or Ryan O'Hearn.
All right, Jason. Well, I at least tried to ask, and I was hoping I'd get answers that were a little bit more, I don't know, hopeful on the Suarez front, on the everything else front. But so far, better than nothing from the Pirates this offseason, I suppose. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Have a good one. Take care, guys.
Jason Mackey, you'll be hearing him again more frequently in the coming days and weeks right here on 93.7 The Fan. Don, your reaction quickly here to what Jason just said, that we've probably already seen in his estimation the biggest move the Pirates are going to make as far as a trade, as far as a free agent, that they weren't really ever close on Okamoto, and that they're not going to be close, in his opinion, on Suarez.
Overall, I can't say I'm stunned that the offseason kind of tops out here. We were all hopeful that there would be like one more thing in there. If I didn't really see the Okamoto thing happening. I was thinking more along the lines of Suarez as the offseason went on. So I guess I'll still hold out a little bit of hope there because Jason doesn't have a good feeling, but he didn't rule it a complete impossibility. But yeah, I mean, you can't really be stunned hearing him say that, especially since they actually did make a couple of moves.
Well, that's the funny thing, though. That's the paradox.
Got this all kickstarted.
The fact that they made those couple of moves, I'm not going to sit here and be a complete Pollyanna and tell you that I was like, oh, they're definitely doing everything different now. But when you see them actually do some stuff that you're like, huh, that's actually a move that's geared to try to win now. You just wonder if maybe it will extend a little bit more than, you know what I mean? Like it primes the pump and makes you think, all right, if this other stuff that they basically never did before actually is happening, an aggressive trade, signing like a player people have heard of in free agency, etc., maybe they'll take one step more up the ladder. And it is disappointing to hear like, no, this was probably going to be it.
Yeah. So, I mean, as fun as those two moves were, you know, that's not going to be something that vaults them into like a true contender, but maybe now we can start to think more along the lines of a 500 season. That's where you were hoping that next move would take place, because as we saw with the NL Central, well, until Milwaukee completely took it over, but really now with how the baseball playoff structure is, you don't have to be a great team to get in like you used to be.
oh God, now every it's going to be the NHL soon and the NBA. It's going to be every sport's going to do
Yeah, you're
really
going to reach half the league.
You really got me ticked off with that one. Just like that was like an instant lighting of the angry Mulsey flame. The playoffs don't mean jack just getting there anymore. In pretty much every sport but baseball, they don't mean anything. The NFL, we're creeping up on almost half the league. If they add one more team, it will be half the league in each conference. Old man yells at cloud. I'm almost 41 years old. I'll stop right now so I don't get made fun of and people start calling me like sports talk Clint Eastwood. Minus the toughness.